नमः हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् सो वाट् वी विल् डू तैत्तिरीय उपनिषत् The name is very interesting, Taittiriya Upanishad. There was a great soul called Yajnavalkya. So his guru was in trouble. So he asked, trouble means some disease or something was troubling him. So he told his disciples, you do some karmas, special worship type of things. He had this disciple, Yajnavalkya, and he told, why are you asking the others to do it? I am quite good. I alone can remove your troubles. Kind of, no? Pride had entered into his heart. The guru didn't like. He said, whatever I gave you, give it back to me. Learning. How does one give learning back? If you have learnt from me some song, how will you give me back?
Teach somebody else.
No.
Forget.
Forget about it. Means don't ever sing or open your mouth. That is its meaning. Because the guru got very angry, you see. It's copyrighted. You can't use that. Then you see Yajnavalkya, he goes, he wanted to learn. So what he did, he assumed a form of a bird called Titir. He omitted, as symbolically, he omitted the knowledge, gave back to the guru. Immediately the other disciples assumed the form of Titiri birds, a kind of small bird, and ate up the whole lot. Means, what he could not use, they started using it. Like, you know, you rent a house, somebody who rents you that house doesn't like you, this you vacate, I want to give it to someone else. So somebody else will occupy the place where you have been comfortably sitting for quite a long time. That means you can't use it. This is what happens all the time. Redundancy. Then they bring somebody else. So formerly you were the boss, now somebody else is the boss. So from there the name has come, that which has been taken in the form of the Titiri birds is called Taittiriya. This contains, this is one of the most important Upanishads, very beautiful Upanishad. For the sake of chanting, this is one of the best Upanishads. Very melodiously one can chant, the notations are there, very amenable to chanting. This contains three chapters called Vallis. Valli means simply chapter. The first Valli is called Siksha Valli. Siksha means not Telugu Siksha. Siksha usually means, you know, punishment or discipline. But in this, here it is taken in the meaning of discipline. How to pronounce things correctly. One of the theories of Hindus or Vedanta is, if someone can be speaking very nicely, in a disciplined manner, pronouncing everything in the correct manner, then that gives a tremendous result. So that is why Vedas, they said they are called Shrutis. Shrutis means you can read, we can all read nowadays. But how is it pronounced correctly? For that you have to go to the Guru. You know why Vedas are called Shrutis? There are two reasons why Vedas acquired the name Shruti. Shruti means, literal meaning of the word Shruti is
heard,
that which is heard. So the first reason is Vedic Rishis, through their meditation, acquired a state of mind called intuition. In the intuitive mind, they experienced a certain truth. So that is called heard. Heard, usually we say something that goes through the ears. But the thing is, when we want to express something, suppose you experienced something and you want to convey it to others, you have to use one of these five sense organ or expression. Either I saw it, or I heard it, or I smelt it, or I tasted it, or I touched it. That is called pratyakshanubhuti. But this has nothing to do with that anubhuti, because that anubhuti is beyond the five sense organs. But we have to use an expression. That is why, otherwise how would you express to others? Have you heard it? No. Have you seen it? No. Have you tasted it? No. Have you smelt it? No. Have you If anybody says, I have not experienced anything through the five sense organs, then we say, that means you are trying to tell me nothing.
No.
I don't want to hear about it. So that is why it is said heard. Heard in the sense, as though God is talking and a rishi is hearing it. But actually, it is not here. Intuitive means there is no giver, there is no taker. The truth just becomes evident, self-evident. Yes. That is why it is called Shruti. Here you have to understand first meaning of the Shruti. You have to understand it is an intuitive experience. But simply he said, I heard. How did you know? I heard. How did you know? I saw.
But it's the same thing as the revelation.
Yes. Revelation means that. Revelation means exactly that.
Is that the same thing as Vak?
Yes. Yes. In a higher sense, it is Vak. Again, we use in this sense. If you are speaking, there is called Vak. But no. Here in this sense, intuitively, it has been experienced. The second meaning of Shruti is that this Rishi or the Guru is conveying his experiences through word. So how does he convey? Usually through the word. So he whispers, he tells into the ears, you are hearing my words. What am I doing? I am conveying certain ideas in the form of sounds. So Guru Parampara, it has come, Guru taught to the disciple, disciple in his turn became Guru and taught to his disciple. That is why it is also called Shruti. So why is it called Shruti in the second instance? That our rishis said, you have to hear it from us. You can't mispronounce it. You can't misread it. You will have to pronounce it exactly as you hear it from us. So their theory is, even if one doesn't understand what is the meaning of that Vedic mantra, but pronounced correctly, it produces the absolute result. This is the belief among most of us. For example, mantra. What meaning are you seeking in a mantra? You just utter it with devotion and it will give you the result. What is the mantra by which the child manipulates everybody around him?
Crying.
What is mantra? It is called Brahmastra. Nobody can resist it. Swamiji used it to take Swami Turiyanam to the west.
Yeah.
You know, cry. So what will you do? person is exhaled, is crying. He is demanding, you can say no. He is crying. What will you do? You give it. That is if the fellow knows. Ultimately he will get what he wants. So this is called Shruti. It must be heard correctly. It must be pronounced correctly. That method by which one listens correctly and pronounces, learns to pronounce correctly, that is called Siksha. So it is called Siksha Vali. So not only hearing and pronouncing correctly, but that is the external part. The internal part, every Upanishad contains something called Upasana. Upasana means contemplatives. So we deeply think about something and that becomes our nature. That is what we are all doing. So someone utters a harsh word towards you, then you contemplate on it. And what do you become?
Sad.
You become very, not only, you become angry, you become hateful, revengeful, or sad. Many effects will take place. Yeah. Many effects will take place. That means we have become perfect upasakas. In that negative way, we are having perfect upasakas. See? But if we can use the same technique to think of the divine, that takes us to the higher world. That is what is called meditation, contemplation. So if a person is says, I am meditating on God, and comes out more sad than when he went in, what is he contemplating? What is he contemplating?
Sadness.
So you see what is, now we can understand why some people, they don't progress in spiritual life. Instead of, even though they are doing japa and puja and all those things, because the thoughts associated with God are not godly thoughts. They are ungodly thoughts, sad thoughts. Simple psychological truth. You think about sadness, whatever name you are using, you don't use the word sad, you use the word God. But the result is, that means what, upon which God you are meditating?
Sad
God. So he said, there was one Saint Teresa. She never liked to see her nuns as sad. She said, sad nun is a bad nun. That is very true. And a bad nun is always a sad nun. Who is a bad nun? Who thinks about negative thoughts, the simple thing. So the first chapter of this Taittiriya Upanishad is devoted solely for two things. One is to train a disciple. Mind you, these are not scriptures for worldly people. These are scriptures for spiritual aspirants only. That's why it is called Upanishad. So this teacher first makes him pronounce, this word siksha, how to pronounce each letter, each word, each sentence. In English grammar also, is a way of breaking sentences. Otherwise, if you break it in the wrong way, completely wrong meaning will come. Yeah. So we used to have that, we forget now. Caesar enters the court, etc., etc., with his shoes on his head and crown on his feet, like he should have broken, enters with his shoes, crown on his head. Enters with his shoes on his head, crown on his feet, like that.
Oh,
if you break,
yeah.
It gives a wrong meaning. So correctly one has to break. That's very important. So second part of this is that how to use these words as contemplative means for training the mind. So it's called sandhis, samhitas, contemplations. For example, you know, acharya, what is the relationship between acharya and student, sishya? What is it that binds, what is that glue which binds them together? And what is the result of this binding them together? Mata purva rupam pitottara rupam prajananagum sandhihi, that it goes. See, mother is the first form, father is the later form, and the union of the mother and father is that which unifies them. As a result of this unity, the child is born. This is a contemplation. So everything in this universe is bound together, not separate things, but bound together with whom ultimately? With God. So the idea is, when you do sandhi, what happens when you do sandhi? If you don't understand sandhi properly, it gives a different meaning. For example, samasta loka bhayakarima tvamme brahma samadhirima. Samasta loka bhayakarima. How should you? That is a sandhi. Akara sandhi. Savarna. Savarna dirgha sandhi.
Oh.
Samasta loka abhayakarima.
Abhayakarima is the pain now.
Many people, you know, when I took that one, they were said, all these years we have been thinking, why mother is called abhayakari? You can also take that meaning, that's correct. Who that produces fear? It is Ayadevi Sarvabhuteshu. Bhayadir upena samstita. Yes, bhranti, bhaya, kshudha, krishna, and all these. So positive, negative qualities. All qualities belong to trigunas. She is the trigunamayi. Therefore, she can be bhayankari also. But here we are not contemplating on the negative aspect of the mother, only positive aspect. So what is the, how do we split that? Savarna dirgha sandhi, samasta loka abhayakari ma. So that sandhi is what unites the word before, the word afterwards, and makes it a new meaningful word. Samasa is another way of doing the same thing. So why not also contemplate in the form of the sandhi and samasa, so that you get meaning out of it. What is it that combines the earth and the mountain and the sky? If you get desperate things, you will get one meaning. If they are combined, it is one unit. If it becomes one unit, God becomes one unit. What is God? He is not a part. Everything in this universe is a part. You understand the meaning?
It's smaller aspect.
Huh?
It's smaller aspect.
A part. You know, suppose there is a clock. What is it that you call a clock? Say 50 or 100 parts in that machine, all fitting perfectly with each other. So the clock is not the name of a particular part. All the parts combined is what you call clock, like body. There is no part of the body which is called body. It is a hand, it is a leg, it is a eye, it is a ear, it is the nose. There is no such part called body. Body is the name for all the parts together. Why? Because if you have to name the parts, each part has got a separate name. So when something is functioning as one unit, Because we tend to look upon certain things as one complete unit. Otherwise, if they are not united, it won't become that particular object. So a harmonium has got its own parts. There is a cover, there is bellows, there is this reeds and screws and all these things are there. So the entire thing we call it harmonium. But if you have to name particular parts, you say this is cover, this is box, this is bellow. See the point? So this, what is the meaning of God? God is not the name of a particular object in this universe. The whole universe as a whole is called
God.
So when you understand God that way, when you contemplate, that means you are contemplating on the whole. The purpose of this first valli, siksha valli, is to give us the understanding that this whole universe is nothing but God in another form. Universe means, we call it Virat. Virajaha. Then the second part is called Anandavalli or Brahmanandavalli. What is it we seek? We seek only happiness. So, are there any differentiations in happiness? Or is it one thing only? Usually we say, you know, you see, the eyes will see the forms. The ears will hear the sound, different experiences. But the result of all these experiences is only, are only two. Happiness or unhappiness. And any object can create both. You like some, if there is an object which you like, it can create both happiness and unhappiness. There is an object which you don't like, that also can create both happiness and unhappiness. How?
The absence of the object would cause happiness.
Or too much of the object would cause.
No.
Or understand.
Suppose there is a sweetmeat. You like it. It can cause both happiness and unhappiness.
For diabetic patient, it will cause.
No.
Attachment?
No. This way. See, when you get what you like, it causes what?
Happiness.
And when you don't get what you like,
happiness.
It creates
unhappiness.
Unhappiness. Supposing when you get what you don't like, it creates
unhappiness. Unhappiness.
And when you don't get what you don't like,
happiness.
See, the same object can create, that means everything in this world. There are only two ways we look at things. Either you like or you don't like. Therefore, every object in this world, whether you like or don't like, creates both happiness and unhappiness, one by while coming near and another by going away. That is why they say, you know, some people bring happiness wherever they go. Some people bring happiness
whenever
they go.
That is very nice.
It is true. So the second valli called Ananda valli, it tells us that though ananda is only one, actually what we call dukkha or suffering is not separate from happiness. When it is near, it is called ananda. When it is more, it is called ananda. When it is called, when it is less, it is called
dukkha.
That is simple truth. There is nothing called to one is sukha and one is dukkha. See, here it is, if it is cold,
absence.
It is dukkha. But when you put on heater, what happens? Cold becomes less. Then heat becomes more. Then it becomes what?
Ananda.
Sukha. Ananda. So the conditions create, as the ananda is more, ananda is less. More ananda, more less dukkha is called more ananda. And less sukha is called dukkha. There are no two separate things. That is important for us to know. Ultimately, right from the smallest type of happiness until the highest type of happiness, it is the same happiness. What is the difference? If it is too much covered, that is called dukkha. If it is not at all covered, it is called paramasukha. In between, there are infinite variations, how much it is covered. So, sukha or ananda is divided into three categories by Thakur. What is that?
Vishayananda,
Bhajanananda, Brahmananda. Three. There is no, it is one and the same thing. It is absolutely one and the same thing. But depending upon how much we get, so we call it either sukha or we don't get dukkha. So their importance he gives is, one who gets rid of any dependency, so getting rid of dependency is called sukha. Any dependency is called
dukkha.
So you are hungry. When you are hungry, that is causes dukkha, because you are dependent for food. So you have to, if you don't get food, you are unhappy. If you get food, then you are happy. So whenever you are deprived of food, you are unhappy. When we are deprived of this air, then we are unhappy. That's what is called prana. So how can we be free or independent? Because what is it that is dependent? Are you dependent or is your instrument dependent?
Instrument.
Your instrument. You are using an instrument. As long as you depend upon the instrument, the instrument is depending upon something else. You are depending upon your car. And your car is depending upon petrol, road, and etc., etc., engine, etc., is it not?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be free from that dukkha, then you should completely get rid of
car.
So this body is an instrument. So as long as we depend upon this body, and this body depends upon something else, and that something else depends upon something else. See how it goes? We depend on the body. The body depends upon what? Food. The food depends upon what? Climatic conditions. The climatic conditions depend upon what?
Weather.
God.
Weather.
So many other things is what we do also. Upon us again. How much we are using or misusing. Etc. So it is a vicious circle. So this dependency is called dukkha. The more we dependent, more dukkha, more bandhana. Bandhana is nothing but dependency. You depend upon something. And whatever you depend upon has got two defects. What is it? First, you are not that object. You don't say, I depend upon myself. There is no yourself. You are the only one. The moment you depend upon something else, dukkha will come. That's the first thing. It is separate from you. Second, whatever can be depended upon always depends upon
something
else. That something else depends upon something else. That something else depends upon something else. This is called samsaro. So So there is no end to it. Okay. So he tells, ultimately, if you depend only upon the self, then there is no break, because the self does is by definition, what is the self? Okay. It is non-dependent upon anything else. This is the simple truth. That is called freedom. And once you do that, all the ananda you want is already with you. Self also is another name for
ananda.
Yes. Look at it this way. So the name we give for self is Satchidananda. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat means what? Sat means eternal
existence.
Now when we say, I have to eat food, what do I mean? I have to survive. So if I don't eat food, what happens to me? I die. So death is equated with what? Non-existence. See, dependency. I will never die. But whatever I am dependent upon, that will, first of all, it is separate. Secondly, it is dependent. This dependency is called bondage. Bandhana. Otherwise, if you don't depend upon the world, samsara is no bandhana at all. If you think I am the self, you can be in this world. You don't, when the body dies, you don't say, I am dying.
Yeah.
His body dies. There is nothing to do with me. So that independence will come. So gradually, how to get rid of these dependencies, right? From beginning the body, then sense organs, then thoughts, then buddhi, then finally ahankara. That is the process of spiritual practice. So at every step he says, Shrotriyasya kamahatasya. So the highest bliss belongs to Shrotriya. Shrotriya means one who has realized the self. Or akamahatasya. Who is an akamahata? Kamahata means? Kamata means one who is killed by desires.
Oh.
Killed means what? Possessed. Mastered by desire. So happiness cannot be his. So akamahatasya, one who is free from all desires. Why is he free from all desires? How is he free from all desires?
Non-dependence.
Purna kamaha. All that he desires is his own nature. What can the body give you? Body actually cannot give you. It only obscures the happiness which is already ours. This is the truth. So that is the essence of the second valli called Ananda Valli or Brahmananda Valli. So it is a progression. A student goes to the guru, and the student asks, or the teacher asks, what for did you come? What do you want to learn? He doesn't say, I want to learn ABCDs. He says, I want to be free from the shackles of the world. Okay, here is the first step. First of all, you learn the scripture, interpret the scripture, understand the scripture correctly. Second, contemplate the scriptural statements so that you will come to know that the whole world is one reality. Why we do need to see the whole universe as one reality?
To remove the dependencies. To remove the dependencies.
No.
You need to see the connections.
You see, suppose, imagine there are two realities. So you might have attained to one reality.
Yeah, it won't be complete.
But since there is another reality, you also have to obtain that reality. But if it is infinite number of realities, You see, do you get what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Supposing there are two sweets, two varieties, sweets. So you get one variety. Then your desire, maybe the other sweet mm-hmm. is better than this sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Comes, desire comes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Suppose, it's only as an example. Suppose there are a billion varieties of sweetmeats. Now that means if you want to get rid of your unhappiness, so if there are two, it's nice discussion, if there are two sweetmeats, how many unhappinesses you have?
Two.
If you, there are three sweetmeats, how many unhappinesses?
Three.
If it is 1 billion sweetmeats, how many unhappinesses?
1 billion.
So is it ever possible to fulfill all the, to taste all the realities? Supposing there is only one sweet, no dissatisfaction will ever arise in that man. See, what a wonderful thing. Previously, people didn't have, the first time, I remember, when I was a young boy, one man bought one radio. It was the Philips radio. There was no conflict in the mind at all, because there was only one company. You buy it, bring it, it's very big, this big. All valves operated by it. Very, very beautiful sound. Valve sound is very beautiful. Transistor sound is worthless. It saves space and all that. But quality wise, nothing like valves. Anyway. So he had, so nowadays if you want to buy something like that, you can be profoundly unhappy. Because you know you buy one. Maybe in the same Philips company is producing 1,000 varieties. From $5 to $5,000 like that. Is one Sony laptop. It only costs $300,000.
Huh?
Special edition.
$300,000?
Only. Yes.
Oh, is it what is it, gold?
Not 100 quad core. It has got some golden, what is called, decorations are there. The laptop function is just any other function. But the cover, very costly. You know, rich people, they want to, executives, they want to have this one.
Arabian sex.
So, these are, if there are so many realities, so that is why it says either there is one reality or there are infinite number of realities. That is called a duality. Duality doesn't mean two. It means either it is one or it is many, many, many. Many means infinite. So as long as you are, there is nothing wrong with infinite realities. Only two things wrong. You know what is the two things wrong?
If they're disconnected. If they're disconnected.
No. You see, take this. This much space is there. This is your house. Let us say 10,000 feet. As an example. Suppose you construct this house, only two rooms. Each room gets how much?
5,000.
Suppose you build 10 rooms. Each one gets how much?
1,000.
Suppose you build 100 rooms. Each room gets how much? So each one, the more it limits the other thing to that extent. So if your happiness, you want 100% happiness, and there are two realities, And then you enjoy one reality, how much happiness you get?
50%.
And supposing there are four realities, each reality gives you how much happiness?
25%.
And if you are enjoying only one reality, how much unhappiness is remaining?
75%.
You see the point?
Yeah.
So each limits the other thing. And if it is infinite, how much happiness will you get from each?
Nothing.
Yeah. So that is why we never want little bit of. So sat and chit and happiness are related to this subject what we are talking. If you think you are this small body, because there are infinite number of bodies are there, that means you limited your existence only to 1 billion, for example. And that 1 billionth, if it is destroyed, you think you are destroyed. Suppose you are identified with two. Then if one part of you is destroyed, you still enjoy the other part. Suppose you are identified with the whole infinite existence. Then would you ever become non-existent?
No.
That is the meaning of this sat. Sat means undivided existence. Since it is undivided, it is infinite. Since it is infinite, means this limitation is of three types. Time-wise, space-wise, and causation-wise. Desha, kala, nimitta. You see, do you understand? Supposing you are enjoying a sweetmeat. How long does it last?
Time.
So it is limited by?
Time.
Or let me put it that way. You are eating this bit sweetmeat. How long will it last? This bit. And if it is this big, then it lasts a little
longer.
If it is this big, it lasts still longer. So you see, what this is called space-wise limitation and time-wise limitation, and also causation-wise limitation. So an effect is equivalent to only to the cause that you produce. If you put half a liter of petrol in your car, how long do you expect it to run? If the cause is only this much petrol, how long will the car last? So any effect is dependent upon the cause. See the point? Let's say, you know, a person studies only up to SSLC. What type of job he can expect to get? If a person has passed BA, then he can expect to get a better job. Like this, see, this is called cause-wise limitation, time-wise limitation, space-wise limitation. So this world is a limitation created by time, space and causation. So, if we want infinite, eternal happiness, then we must get out of these time, space and causation limitations. Why should we get out of them? Because they are limitations. So, this method has been analyzed beautifully in the second valley called Ananda valley. So, this is a teaching to the disciple that if you want infinite happiness, then you must produce infinite cause or remove time, space and causation. Go beyond time, space and causation. Now what are the things that bring about time, space, causation limitations?
Nature.
This is called kosha. Body and mind, we said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How many bodies are there? Three bodies are there. Sthula, sukshma, karana. Or Another way of putting it is, in a better way, is called panchakoshas. So each kosha is a limitation, time-wise, space-wise, and causation-wise. So what are those panchakoshas?
Annamaya,
Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya. So kosha means what?
Sheath.
Sheath means what?
Covering.
Limitation. It limits. So it limits. This room is a limitation. Do you see the point?
Mm-hmm.
If it is a small room, you are limited only by 4x4. If it is a double side room, you are limited by 8x8. So every house is nothing but a limitation. So this is like a house. Being in this house, how can you expect unlimited? So the body limits very much. So Annamaya limits too much. Pranamaya limitation is little less. Then Manomaya limitation is still less. And Vijnanamaya limitation is still less. And Anandamaya, just a thin curtain. But go beyond Anandamaya, because it is also a kosha. Why do you call Anandamaya is a kosha? Anandamaya is a kosha because you are enjoying bliss.
You are not bliss.
Chini khete chayina, chini hote chay. Ordinary people's perception is chini hute chayina, chini khete chay. But wise person's understanding is chini khete chayina, because how long can I go on eating? So it is like falling into the ocean, like a salt crystal falling into the ocean and becoming one with the ocean. Then it is never is bereft of salt. Otherwise it can be melted. It can be destroyed. So each kosha is a limit. Kosha means limitation. There are 5 koshas. The grosser the kosha, the more is the
limitation.
And the finer the kosha, the less is the limitation. Or put it opposite way, the grosser the kosha, the less is the happiness. The finer the kosha, more is the happiness. Nevertheless, any happiness that comes through, that is filtered through a limitation, is still, however big it is, still it is a limitation. So get rid of all the limitations. That is called spiritual practice. So what do you do in simple terms? If you are practicing spiritual discipline, what happens? First you think that this body is mine. Then you get married. What happens? Now 2 bodies are ours. Then the children will come. See, identification is expanding. So it has a advantage, it has also a disadvantage. What is the advantage? The more you love, the more you identify, the more is the joy. But that very identification, see, if anybody is unhappy for whatever reason, that unhappiness spreads to the all, to the whole family. So that is the disadvantage. But as an analogy, the more we expand our identity, the better. Until we identify with the infinity. That is why, so bhuma, why sukham? Infinity is happiness. Alpe sukham nasti. There is no happiness in smallness, small identity. He is not saying there is absolutely no happiness. He is saying it has got a small amount of happiness. What is wrong with having small amount of happiness? There are 3 wrong things are there. 3. What are those 3? The first is, the smaller the object of happiness, the smaller would be the happiness. See the point?
No.
Smaller the room, your limitation is to that extent
small.
Small. More. Limitation is big. You are limited. The smaller the, you know, the room, the more is the
limitation.
Your limitation. You can't do many things, you can't keep many things, etc. The bigger is the room, the smaller is your limitation.
Like airplane seat.
Yes. Absolutely. So that is the first defect, is any object in this world, it only can give happiness, so according to that nature. The second, in this world, every object of happiness has its counterpart. What is the counterpart of happiness?
Unhappiness.
So you can't say, I will have only happiness and I won't have the unhappiness. Yeah. Third defect is, it brings bondage, attachment. If you enjoy something, oh, I enjoyed this, so I must have again, like addiction. It becomes like an addiction. That is the third limitation. That is why it is said, alpe sukham nasti bhuma vai sukham. Infinity alone is happiness. How to attain that happiness? We are already limited by the panchakoshas. So first realize and use the each kosha properly. You know how it is? Supposing you have a small room. You throw your things here, there, everywhere. That becomes a mess. So if you want to enjoy the full freedom, even though it is a smaller room, you arrange things in a proper way. It makes a lot of difference. The same room appears to be very roomy,
yes,
when you arrange things in their proper way. For example, you have got 2,000 books. So you just throw here and there. You have hardly any space to move about. Buy one almirah, a big almirah, and go on putting, you know, use the word, the room, what is called vertically. Then you see, all these books which you are throwing here and there, everything is arranged there, and it's very convenient to find, and you have so much more room. What are we talking about? Even though we are in this grossest sheath identified now, understand that sheath properly, use that sheath properly, then that sheath will give whatever happiness it can give to its fullest capacity. Are we getting the fullest capacity?
No.
Just a small example to make this point clear. So suppose you say, how much food you can eat and enjoy really this much. Now suppose you do very good exercise, run here and there, and this body can become even stronger. You can eat more, you can digest more, you can work more, you can do many more things. How many talents are there untapped in each human body? How many potentials do we have, any count? You can become a poet, you can become a singer, you can become a player, you can become a writer, you can become an administrator. Who has tapped all the potentialities? Compare yourself with Einstein, or that Becker, that footballer, you know, or Beethoven. So all this possible? It is possible. So the method is, if we don't use, God will not give us more freedom. Use this freedom first. And God will not give means, you don't feel like, you know, if your stomach is satisfied with this much food, you don't crave this much food. You see the point? There is a limit. Once that limit is reached, If somebody out of love gives you more food, what would be your reaction? Feel like slapping that fellow. Because, you know, there is a limit. You can force yourself to eat a little more. After that, if somebody forces you, your reaction will be terrible. So, let us use this, understand our capacity, use it, you get so much more joy. Once you get that joy and enjoy it, then only you say, ah, this is not enough for me. So you see how the psychology works. As long as our desires are not fulfilled in this world, even if God comes, you won't ask something higher. You will only ask, hey Bhagavan, humara din ka chain le jao, raat ka neend utha ke le jao, humara piche ek bhoot ko laga do.
Oh! This fellow wants to get married.
Why bhut ko laga to?
Or man, was a praying to God. Amara din ka chayam le jao, take away, destroy all the peace of my day. Raat ka neend utha ke le jao, take away all my sleep at night. Amara piche ek bhut ko laga to. So God simply sent him an email.
Shadi.com. What is the third one, Maharaj?
Send me a demon, devil, to chase me. So God, what you know, God sent an email.
Shadi.com. This fellow wants to get married.
He was
going.
You understand it now.
Sarana is saying very clear. To me.
That is what happens, you know. Until we really are satisfied, we cannot ask for higher things. Once this kosha, whatever this kosha can give, we have got squeezed that amount of happiness, then the soul thirsts. This is not enough. I want more. Common sense. If you have got this big room and you have only few things, you don't crave for a bigger house. But if you have got, you know, hundreds of things, then you crave for a bigger room. Until you fill up this room, you don't desire another better room. This is the simple truth. If you are not learning to this particular sound, then you don't earn for learning something else. Until you pass this class, you are not admitted into the higher class. This is the simple truth. You can't desire a higher happiness unless you have tasted this happiness. And there are quite a number of types of happinesses which we haven't really tasted. This is the truth. So it doesn't mean we have to go on tasting different things. Don't make that mistake. There is no end for things. But the highest bliss in one through one particular object, if you are a wonderful musician, you derive tremendous joy through that music. If you are a painter, painter. If you are a scientist, scientist. If you are an engineer, engineer. Once you reach that state, you somehow understand whatever else you experience, it can't give you more than that. It is like another example, you know. Suppose there is a building. It is 500 feet tall. And there are 100 staircases to go to the top of the building. So you somehow, through one staircase, you reach the top of the building. Once you reach the top of the building through one staircase, you know whatever staircase you may take, it can only take you until that level, because the building has no higher than that. Then you long that is there any building which is taller than this. Until that time, you go on experimenting with the different states. If you have only reached 20th floor or 30th floor, what is there? There may be something better things in the 50th floor, 122nd floor. The tallest, Chicago, Sears building? Sears building. We went like that, 1 minute, you are there. So fast. Some people feel dizzy in the lift.
Oh.
It goes so fast, you know. So, every kosha has its limitation. But we have not got even 1 billionth of what this kosha can really offer. So, through some staircase, we must get the highest happiness this kosha can give. Until that time, one, you know what happens? One kutkutkutchi. Yeah. So if I put on that sari, maybe I will be a happier person. Or if I go to that mountain top, I will be a happier person. If I get another job, I will be a happier person. You know, explore.
Oh.
But through somewhere or the other, one must reach, then a sense of fulfillment comes. There is nothing this world can offer. Is there any other world which can offer more happiness? See, what is the point I am driving at?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot desire a higher type of happiness until we at least experience a little bit of the highest happiness this world can offer to us. You by just reading Gospel of Ramakrishna, you can't think this is all, you know, nonsense. I will only want God. That is not going to come.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.